This is just to close on the property. So if somebody wants to charge you, say, 20% interest annually, who cares if you have a plan to switch it over into an A lender right after at full value? So if you talk to Diana about your strategy, about what you're trying to get by, it's like, we just need to close on this property in whatever creative way we can. I don't care about the interest rate because I want to refinance it with an A lender right afterwards. Diana would have to find a lender that you could do that quicker.
Yeah, and I talk about that in one of the slides. Yeah, yeah.
But so these astronomical things that may seem crazy, it's short term.
It is.
It can be short term if you plan for it.
Yeah.
This is The Curious Investor with your host, Nicole Tanner. Secrets, stories, and successes in commercial real estate. We wanna go, go.
And welcome back for part two of this three-part series around assignments and wholesaling. In this part, we're going to speak about all the lending considerations around assignments and wholesaling. And we are joined with Diana Iskander from the, she's a mortgage agent from the lending suite to lend this part of the conversation. Enjoy the podcast.
So we found out how to do it, now how to fund it. Because quite often you put 20% down on investment properties, most lenders don't like that lift. If the lift is only 5K, 10K, it's not that big a deal. If it's 100K, 200K, we had an agent in our office do a 400K profit on her assignment. Where are those funds coming from? Which brings us to Diana.
Okay, so I think we can skip over this slide and the next slide because the next slide is just a little intro, so we did go over that. So just an overview for us and just some of the terminology that I use and just some specifics that will apply to all the transactions and all the options that I'm going to tell you guys about. So for us, the difference, the new purchase price and the original purchase price, we call it the lift. We don't like to call it the assignment fee. Just because the lenders don't want to pay a fee to somebody else. So, oh, sorry, can we just, no, that's okay. Every lender has different policies. Some will lend on the new purchase price, some will lend on the original purchase price, and some will just do it based on the original value, whichever is less sometimes. So we have to keep in mind all the options that I'm going to go over with you guys are very case-per-case basis. Every deal looks a little bit different. It depends on the strength of the client and their whole portfolio and what that looks like. So just bear that in mind. These are just some general options that I would offer to somebody who is looking to get into an assignment agreement. One thing that's super important for us on the lending side is these are arm's length transactions. They will be asking us, how did the assignor and the assignee come into contact with each other? Do they have a personal relationship? Are they related? If we say you're related or you have a personal relationship, right off the bat, the bank is not going to finance that lift and you have to be responsible for it yourself. So if a realtor connected you, even if a friend connected you, but you don't have that personal relationship, that's okay. So that is a big thing that we have to take a look at, is that it's an arm's length transaction. Okay, and then we're going to go over some of the solutions. I'm going to try to keep it as simple as possible because it doesn't need to be overly complicated on my end. So options for financing an assignment. So the most ideal is we're going to go with a chartered bank or a monoline bank mortgage. Okay, so those are your CIBCs, your Scotiabanks, First National, Manulife. We're talking A lenders, A rates, no fees, nothing too crazy going on there. Then we've got option two. So we're looking at B lenders or private mortgages to fund the whole amount, so up to 80% of the purchase price. Third option, we've got a stacked mortgage, so a mortgage in first position and then with a second behind it to try to finance that lift. The whole goal is for us is to have our clients come out with at least the least amount of money out of pocket to make sure that they can come up with their down payment and then also be able to finance the lift. And then the last option is a first mortgage plus a cash injection for the assignment lift portion. So next slide, please. Okay, so this would be the easiest and most ideal. Most builder assignments as long as the client qualifies, would be able to qualify under this chartered bank and the monoline lenders. The lenders don't look too closely at the amount of the lift with regards to assigning builders, especially if they were bought 3-4 years ago and we're looking at $400,000 lifts. Like, that's not abnormal, especially in the market that we've had in the past. So it's nothing that they won't consider. So again, this is for this is the most ideal situation. So you can go as low as 5% down, but that's with a $500,000 purchase. So the mortgage insurers will also finance the lift portion as long as it appraises out, okay? And then 10% down payment for any amount of purchase price over 500. So I've just put in an example here. I've tried to use the same example for all the different options just so we're comparing apples to apples. So an example here is the $650,000 purchase price is 150 above the 500,000. 5% of 500,000 is 25 plus 10% of 150 is 15,000. So the minimum down payment would be 650 and you're coming in, or sorry, the minimum down payment is 40,000 on a 650 purchase. And that's all you would have to come up with in the most ideal of situations. Okay, this is your principal residence. We're going with a straight A lender. That's your minimum down payment. Roger?
That's the assignment price.
Yeah.
Okay, make an assumption the purchase price was 700, the new assignment price would be 800.
Yeah, again, I'm just showing you what the down payment I'm talking about when I say 500,000, like 5% of the first 500 and then 10% after.
Yeah.
Okay? And then the loan to value, so maximum loan to value is 95%. That is determined by the purchase price or the appraised value. Again, this is assuming that they will finance the lift. So here's my example here, $800,000. The down payment would be $55,000. The total mortgage with the premium is $774,800. So again, this is an example of an $800,000 purchase with the assignment price. That's your minimum down payment, and then that's your total mortgage amount. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, B lender or private mortgage. So there are also B lenders out there that will finance the full amount, okay, so the full assignment price, they'll go up to 80% of the purchase price. So B lenders and private mortgages do not deal with insured files, so that's anything less than 20% down. They don't work in that world. So up to 80% of the purchase price, again, loan to value will be determined by the purchase price or the appraisal value, whichever is lower, okay? Usually 2-5% of fees are charged on top of that, of the mortgage amount, and there's also a premium on the rate. So here, again, if I can find a lender for a specific client that will finance the lift, but we do have to go with 20% down just because that's what the client qualified for, purchase price of $800,000, coming in with a down payment of $160,000, and then their mortgage amount is $640,000. Okay, next one.
So, one quick question.
Yeah.
There are the fees financeable?
No.
So you got to pay those up front?
Yeah. Well, in some circumstances, because if the client is coming in with more than 20% down, then they'll do,
those fees are not financeable.
Yeah, those fees are part of your closing costs, just like the land transfer tax or the HST. That is not something that the lenders will mortgage. So a stacked mortgage, so first with a second in behind it. So this is if we've gone with option A and option B, and I cannot find anyone to agree to it. Again, it could be just the property itself or the clients or a combination of both, or even just the amount of the lift is too high and the lenders don't feel comfortable with that. So we have to go in with a first or a second. Major banks, we cannot close with a second mortgage in position on closing date. So we would have to look ideally for a B or a private to be able to close on something with a first and a second. Loan to value again is determined by the purchase price or the appraisal value. I cannot emphasize that enough. That will be in every single slide. Usually 2-5% of fees are charged for the second. There's a much larger premium on the rate for the second. And then we can go actually up to 85% if we were to add a first and a second for a client. It is very costly, so this is an option that if we can avoid, we will. But again, if client is doing it out of need or that it will be profitable for them in the end, then we will put this together. So I just wanted to show you guys again an example. So we have a full purchase price of $800,000. The original purchase price was $750,000. So there's that $50,000 lift. My first lender will go to 80% of that $750,000. So we'll take it to $600,000. We got a second mortgage, so we'll take it to 85%, which is $80,000. So the total borrowing is $680,000. So in this example, you can actually borrow, again, more than that 80% loan to value, take it up to 85%. But with the fees involved, it does cost quite a bit more because we're paying two sets of legal fees. We're paying two sets of finder's fees and broker fees on these files. So it will add up to quite a bit for the client.
So just a quick comment too. This is just to close on the property. So if somebody wants to charge you, say, 20% interest annually, who cares if you have a plan to switch it over into an A lender right after at full value? So if you talk to Diana about your strategy, about what you're trying to get by, it's like, we just need to close on this property in whatever creative way we can. I don't care about the interest rate because I want to refinance it with an A lender right afterwards. Diana would have to find a lender that you could do that quicker,
yeah, and I talk about that in one of the slides. Yeah,
but so these astronomical things that may seem crazy, it's short term.
It is short term.
It can be short term if you plan for it.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. Like, it just depends on what your intent is with the property. Are you buying it out of need, and are you buying it, or are you buying it because you know that there's potential to make money afterwards? I never like to put anybody into a position like this unless we absolutely have to, or we have a really solid plan as to how to get out of it. So like that first and second is really just to get into the property, but we have to have an exit strategy in place if I'm going to suggest putting you into something like this. Okay, and then the next slide. Okay, so, and then the other option is a first mortgage with a cash injection. So I've gone to all my lenders and everyone's saying, no, it's not appraising out. We don't like the lift. We don't like the client. You know, they're going to have to come up with the difference. So very simple, we're going to go with a purchase price of $800,000. The original purchase price was $750,000. Okay, so my minimum down payment's going to be $50,000 because of that $750,000. I'm short $50,000, so I need a cash injection of $50,000. Right, does that make sense? So basically what we're going to have to do is I'm gonna have to tell my client, you're gonna have to up your down payment by an extra $50,000. And that can come from their own cash savings, or that can come from leveraging another property that they own. So if you own your own principal residence and this is being bought as a rental, we're going to refinance or take out a line of credit. That's actually on my next slide. To do that, so we can switch, go to the next slide. So just gonna talk about leveraging. So leveraging to finance the lift. So what you can do is you're going to take either your principal residence, another rental that you may have, or again, you may reach out to family or friends, whatever it may be, and then you can just refinance, utilize a line of credit, right? And then despite the rates going up, being able to fully finance a good project will get you further quicker. So I always tell people, like, if you have the ability to take out equity out of another property, do that instead of using your own cash. As long as the cash that you have, you're going to do something to make money with it, do another project, do a flip, whatever it may be. But I always find that with my clients, the ones that leverage the most are the ones that are able to go from 1 to 2 to 10 properties the fastest. And then the exit strategy, so that's my last slide. So how to recoup your funds. So you want to be able to pay yourself back, whether it's you've gotten that first and a second, or you've leveraged, or have used your own cash or mom and dad's cash, okay? So if you've had to use cash or credit to obtain a second to finance the subject property on assignment, depending on the market conditions, you can refinance that property. Generally, it's 6 months to a year later. That was the general rule, I would say, 6 months ago when the market just kept going up and up. Before we kind of hit that plateau, we could call it. That was the general rule of the lenders. Unless there is reason, like again, they bought something under market, they want to be able to pay themselves back, they've done some work in the property, we can see if we can do a refinance much sooner than that. Then you can get yourself into an A mortgage or with a chartered bank as long as the clients qualify. So that's ideally what we would take you guys through. If we can't go with option one or two, we would either stack the mortgage or come in with a cash injection and then get you refinanced out to, you know, an A lender as soon as possible.
So the cheapest and most effective way, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is to purchase this property with an A lender, get the most funds that they will give you, with an understanding that your lender is going to refinance it from 6 months to a year, and usually it's bank of mom and dad or a friend. That is the easiest, smoothest process to have this done.
Or if we can get it all done at one, in one shot, like if the lift can be financed up to 95% with an A bank, that's obviously the most ideal. And it does happen, but it, again, case by case basis.
But if the deal is amazing, you got to pay to play, and it's going to cost you fees.
Yeah. And that's just the cost of doing business.
Yep. Anybody have any finance questions for Diana?
Is it really realistic to get an assignment deal with the 95-5 ratio? Like, seeing the deposits that have to be paid back plus the lift on closing, like, I'm already into the deal for more than 5.
But we're financing the lift, right? We're going to go up to... I just want to use 500,000 just as an example. So say like 500,000 is the new purchase price, including the lift. We can finance up to 95% of that. If a client makes a deposit in trust to the lawyer, or they're you know going to reimburse the assignor for their deposits, that really has nothing to do with me, because on closing, if they want that money back, they're getting that back. It has nothing to do with me if I'm willing to finance up to 95% of that. So, yeah, we can. If it's a $500,000 purchase, we'll go up to 95%. Even if you've given $100,000 in deposits, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care what you've given in deposit. Okay. I see, like, you're like...
So, in order to refinance 6 months after or so, you have to go to a variable rate, or who buys one of this?
Yeah, that's what I generally would advise. So again, case per case basis, we would take a look at what's going on in the market. If they're like, okay, you know what, we're kind of sitting stagnant, or prices might be going down a little bit, so let's put you into a 1 year term or whatever, and then we'll exit out at that time. So again, we'll have to pre-plan the exit strategy, but generally, yes, I would put somebody into a variable if we wanted to do it quickly. But we have to keep in mind that with option three, or even two, a lot of the B lenders don't give a variable option. So we have to go with a short term and go with a 1 year, see if they'll offer a 6 month. So it depends on who we're going with originally, and then we'll plan out the exit strategy from there and figure out which product is best for them.
The rates are usually higher for those short term.
Yeah, especially the opens. Like, we're gonna go totally open, they'll charge a big fee up front because they know that that's really the only place that they'll make their money. So, yeah. But again, if you're not going to have it for very long, it doesn't really matter. If you're just going to hold on to it for like 2 to 3 months, the rate is not going to be your biggest cost, right?
Okay. Thank you, Diana.
Thanks. So the stars tonight.